Welcome to Those Working Fangirls Chapter Chat. Today we are discussing chapters 54 and 55 of House of Flame and Shadow, which we've been making our way through for 100,000 years.
Yeah.
It's starting to feel so long.
I know. I was just telling Chloe, also, I'm Natasha.
I'm Christine.
I was just telling Chloe, I'm like, I don't know when we're going to end this.
Natasha, do you want to start us off with chapter 54?
So we start off with Team Caves and they're all asleep on the floor. So if you remember, we're in Avalon and there's Team Archives and Team
Cave
Caves.
Cave of Princes.
We're in the Cave of Princes in the Vagina Cave. And yep. Bryce is
Misty.
Asleep on the floor and she's
Bryce is having trouble sleeping today.
Yeah.
Because she's got racing thoughts, and every time she moves because she can't get comfortable, her fucking starlight shines like a beacon around the cave. So it must be so annoying for everyone trying to sleep around her. She's like, Hunt was out in 2 seconds, but I can't stop thinking about things. Hunt's feeling guilty, and why does Avalon hate females so much? Is it all because of Thea and how she was a power-hungry, genocidal maniac? And they just wanted to prevent that from ever happening again, so they just hated all females for the rest of time. This cave is full of the blood of her ancestry.
Yeah, it's like running and through the water and the caves and all of that.
Yeah. The starlight, and this is her family history, and this is her power to inherit all the power that's in this cave, mm-hmm. which is wild.
Also, the dagger and the sword are like talking to each other.
Yeah. She's like, great, they're having a sleepover party.
Because I don't think that they don't really talk about that. They haven't talked about that since they were in the cave with Azriel.
Yeah, the chatty sword. It always reminds me of Rick Riordan's Magnus Chase books because his sword talks like these swords. And it's also Norse mythology, and there's Norse mythology in this. Mm. So I think that's a nod to Norse mythology because it also happens in Thor, Love and Thunder. The swords must talk.
That's very interesting. I never put those. Wait, when did the swords talk in Thor, Love and Thunder?
The thing is, that whole movie is a hot mess, but I just remember the sword talking because of the Magnus Chase sword.
We stopped reading the first sentence of each chapter.
I can do that right
now. I have it open right now.
Oh, you do. Read it.
Chapter 54. Bryce lay on the hard, cold ground and tried to pretend she was back in her bed. That a rock wasn't poking into her hip bone, that her arm was the most comfortable pillow.
Have you done this?
My arm has a pillow.
Slept on the floor.
I mean, I think.
Tried to pretend that you were comfortable.
Like, yeah, when I was in Girl Scouts, I don't think I've ever slept on the floor as an adult.
As a child. In Girl Scouts, they had us fucking sleeping on the floor of theaters and science museums.
Yep.
And
it was so uncomfortable.
Of everyone's house when we slept over, it was mm-hmm. like the floor. Now when I see like TikToks of parents preparing for their child's sleepover parties, they make all these fucking air mattress special beds for everybody. I'm like, wow, this is the sweet life. We were told to bring a rolled up sleeping bag and drop it on the floor.
Yeah. Why was that? So I do remember like later on when I was possibly like 12, I brought a single mattress, but no one else had one. So yeah. I was the only one who had
one.
You're
fancy.
Yeah, I know.
And then I went through an age where I couldn't even sleep on the bed because my back was so bad. I had to sleep on the floor for like a month and it was.
Oh my Lord.
A bad time, but I did like you adjust to sleeping on the floor, you know, you get used to it,
which is probably why like Hunt can sleep on the floor because he's probably slept on the floor for a very long time.
Yeah, and that's what happens on Survivor too. You have to like get used to all these like really uncomfortable sleeping mm-hmm. things.
I think I'd rather sleep on the floor than sleep on a plane, in all honesty.
I don't know, depends on the floor,
I guess.
So. But in Survivor, this I think most recent season. They made like a bamboo shelter, and from sleeping on the bamboo shelter, the guy got like a fucked up disc in his back and he ended up having to leave because he couldn't feel anything in like his arm or something.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was really scary. And he's like, I learned my lesson. If I ever go back, I'm sleeping on the sand.
Lydia and Rune, this chapter is all about them just rekindling their once past relationship.
Well, it's a current relationship.
That's true. It
hasn't been much time.
They never really slept together outside of their minds.
Yeah, they mind fucked. La 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 la.
But they're both very both thinking about each other.
They're both thinking about each other. Okay, so, well, they're having breakfast together without the boys. And they're like, oh, the boys left us alone again. But really, the boys were captured by the mind power twins yesterday when they were alone together.
Murder twins.
The murder twins. There we go. And while they're sitting at breakfast, this guy comes up to them who is there in Avalon and is only alive because of Lydia. And Lydia risked her entire cover to save this man and his family during one of the battles or something in, you know, somewhere. And he wants to thank her personally and show her a picture of his family and what, you know, what occurred because she saved them, like what was able to flourish. And she's like very uncomfortable and looking down because she doesn't want Morovian to like see this exchange and realize that like someone here is a rebel and is on her side and disloyal to him. And she's probably just not comfortable with the attention because she feels like she did so many bad things that like she's not worthy of praise for this good thing. But he says that Cormac convinced them to come here and join the cause, and there's a few others that he convinced as well. And Rune is sitting there like all baffled, like, you almost blew your cover for this one guy, the seven people. He's like all secretly impressed and can't believe that she would risk her entire situation for this one family. And he's like, it wouldn't really matter, there has to be more to it. And she was like, yeah, the more to it was that if I didn't save them, all of their families wouldn't get to have them come home to them. Like, they would lose all of these loved ones, and their loved ones wouldn't have them in their lives, and blah blah blah. And he's like, wow, I can't believe you did that.
Wow, I'm just remaking you in my head right now.
Like, oh, I didn't realize that you had like such a conscience.
Well, like he just really just changes his tune. Like, he literally says, like, your path was difficult, Lydia. Hell, I don't think I could have endured any of it. But what you did was incredible. Don't lose sight of it.
They go to the archives. They're looking around and she finds stuff about Earth Fae. Fae with Earth powers are the people who can sense ley lines of power in the Earth. And that's why they built Avalon here, because of the ley lines. But now it's rotting and they're trying to figure out what changed in between then and now. But they really can't. It's a mystery still. And Lydia's like, you want to get some coffee? And he's like, yeah. And he can sense that she's like turned on when he asks, she says, do you want to get coffee? And he's like, ooh, I'm also turned on. They go looking for coffee. They find like a bunch of closets. They find a room full of quartz that they think is used for like communication in this ancient realm. And then they find this gross fucking kitchen covered in mouse poop. Like, ew. I wouldn't want to make anything in this kitchen. There's like a cauldron full of old gruel in there, and it just looks very medieval. And he goes, who knew the hind had a caffeine addiction? And I was like, what? Everyone has a fucking caffeine addiction. What a stupid thing to say, Rune.
What, like, she just lives off of the blood of mortals or something?
Like, it was so weird. The only thing she could find is a sealed thing of tea. They don't have any coffee. So then they're talking about the situation I was just talking about with the ley lines, and they're like all turned on by each other. Katie says Rune is secretly terrible at speaking to women, I feel. Or yes, he really, really is.
I know.
That is such a true story. Yeah, so they're trying to figure out the ley line situation. He says another stupid thing. And he's like, you're the super spry breaker. You tell me. I was like, what the fuck's a super spy breaker? Spy Breaker? What? Okay, and then he lights a fire under the cauldron area to, like, warm up the water for tea. And her mouth waters as he lights the fire because he's so efficient at lighting a fire. And she's staring at his arms.
And the, wait, they're still in the mouse poop kitchen, right?
Yeah, they are. They're in the mouse
poop
kitchen.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, they found a kettle and he's just filling it up with water. He's going to put it over the cauldron, even though there's mouse poop everywhere. It's like, guys, yuck. She's talking about, okay, so he's wondering why, when Cormac was found out, why the Asteri didn't come here and investigate the mists further. And she says, well, Moravian and the Autumn King went straight to them instead, probably to prevent them from coming to Avalon, you know what I mean? To, like, mm-hmm. So they'll go to them instead and disown Cormac and Rune, so that he doesn't come poking around where they hold power and trying to take that from them. So they kind of played offense there. And
I don't remember any of this from, like, my first time reading. Like, do you think like the earth magic is, like, is it important later on in the book? I don't remember.
Yes. I think that's going to be what kind of, I think Avalon's going to be a huge part of whatever the next book is, you know, mm-hmm. and all of this earth magic that mm-hmm. we're, like, kind of getting bits and pieces about in this book. But Moravian was such a perfect minion, Lydia says, that my autocorrect made Rigelus into Rogelio. Rogelio believes, she says that Rogelio believes that the mists are a charming quirk of this world.
So, oh,
he hasn't really looked further than being like, oh, that's so quirky. Mists that don't let us into the island. That's basically what happens. They're just, like, really turned on by each other a lot. And that's the chapter, right? Then
they're
the
nesting.
Autumn King. What?
They're lusting after each other.
They are lusting hardcore. There's a lot of, like, cock tightening as usual. I think at one point, like, the space between her legs goes molten.
We go back to Bryce.
Moravian and the Autumn King show up. They're like, Hunt's like, we got to get going. Mm-hmm. And they're like, why? And the ghouls are getting really loud, so they're getting suspicious. And then they're basically snuck up on by Moravian and the Autumn King. They just show up without any preamble, like, no one was able to sense them, and they think it's because Moravian made the ghouls get louder to cover up their noises. And the Autumn King is like, you really thought a closet would hold the likes of me?
That's chapter 55.
Yeah, I know, this is where the chapter switches over.
Yeah. But there's all this stuff between, like, Baxian and Bryce. They're talking about Danica.
Oh, about Danica.
Baxian's, like, wants her to be the leader, or they're still talking about that?
Yeah, he's basically doing the same speech. It's like, with great power comes great responsibility. Mm-hmm. Like, all Fae don't deserve to be written off because of some bad Fae. There's always bad people in every group.
Yeah.
And he kind of points this out to her, like, do you think they're bad? Do you think this person's bad? And she's like, no, of course not. And he's mm-hmm. like, well, all the people that have been making poor decisions have been ruled over by terrible people. Like, look who's been mm-hmm. their king for ages and ages, Moravian, mm-hmm. and your dad. And they're both bitchy assholes. Like, it all depends on who is in power. And he talks about the Prime and how he is a really great guy, but the trickle down of other leaders has been shitty as well. So, because she's like, the wolves have always been better, are so much better than the Fae. And it's like, it's because they have a good leader. Mm-hmm. And you could be the good leader for us. And she's like, oh, shut up. And then they talk about Danica and how he's so grateful that she had her to talk to, because he had to stay with his Sandriel Terrari.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Baxian's like, I just wanted you to know that Danica was thinking about a lot of the same things. And then Bryce's like, I wish she'd talk to me about it, about a lot of this stuff.
He's just like, well, I think her way of manipulating you into thinking about it was putting the horn on your back.
I mean, Like best friends, but all the stuff that she just kept.
Yeah, it's just really not best friend behavior to keep all this fucking shit. Like literally a whole secret life. Mm-hmm. It's not just a secret. It's an avalanche of secrets that come pouring out after she died. And she can't just like, they don't just fall on top of her. She has to go digging for all of them, which is even more of a pain in the ass. Like you didn't even just leave them for her.
Yeah. Chapter 55.
All right. 55.
Hunt let his lightning gather at his fingers, let it wind through his hair as the two fae kings approached, one weathered in flame, the other in shadow. Sorry, wreathed in flame, the other in shadow.
Weathered in flame.
Morven and brings the murder twins. The murder twins
have Tristan and Declan. They're holding them. They've taken
them.
They're
being held. They're being held by ghouls, they said.
Oh yeah, ghouls.
Yeah.
And then they also get, did they try to get a hold of Safia and Therion in the back too?
I think they don't get them right now. Therion's got like his water plume ready to stab people if needed.
Mm-hmm.
And this is when he's like, you thought a closet could hold me. And she's like, well, a bathroom held Micah. So I think a closet would do for you.
Yeah.
But I wish it did hold you a little longer. And Morovian's like, well, I knew there was foul play when you gave me his notebooks. Like, no shit, stupid. She's like, yeah, obviously. I just thought that you would be smarter than to bring him here.
Mm-hmm. They kind of have like a little duel back and forth of
like banter.
Yeah, banter. And I feel like no one wants to really do anything to like hurt each other. I don't know.
Well, they bluff. So he's like, give us the swords or we'll kill Declan and Flynn. And she's like, why don't you just kill them then? Because I'm not giving them to you. Mm-hmm. And Declan and Flynn are like, excuse me. And she's like, you're never going to kill them because you like them for breeding. You're too worried about your power lines and how much power they have and how much of a detriment it would be if we killed them.
Yeah, so it all comes back to breeding for them.
It all comes back to fucking breeding. And then the Autumn King sees that Bryce is gearing up to like lightning to her signature move, her laser beam flash. And he's like, run.
Oh, he goes, you believe pure light can best through darkness.
Wait, that's Morovian.
That's Morven, yeah. And then Hunt fries the ghouls and frees up Tristan and Declan. And then Bryce is like, run. Or think Hunt goes run.
Says run.
Yeah. And then
somebody says run.
Someone says run. And she slices up through the ceiling and everything, all the rocks fall. And then we go shoot back to Rune
the
and Lydia.
The rain came pouring down. So we go back to Lydia and Rune and
they're walking towards the bedrooms.
They're walking toward the bedrooms and we get her whole backstory, which I did forget about this already because it was just a lot of stuff in a little time that we got about hers.
It was in all of this one chapter. But Rune, they walk to the bedrooms and Rune like invites her in. And they sit on these chairs next to the heath. And
isn't it the hearth?
The hearth. Well, Taylor says the heath.
Oh. Who's Taylor?
Twift.
I feel like the hearth.
Yeah. Well, anyways, Lydia goes like, oh, we just had such a great time together. I just love the time that we spent today. And then Rune's like, why don't you come in for a nightcap or something like that? And
a nightcap? I don't think he says that word.
No, he definitely doesn't. And Lydia says like, oh, this is all going to be complicated.
This is when I think it goes molten in between her legs.
And so they kind of like talk openly for a long time. And Lydia admits that she knew who Rune was when they slept together as agents. She was surprised, but she wasn't like thrown off and, you know,
like
he was. She just kind of went with it.
So this was like something I completely forgot, that her children, they're not Pollux. She tells him that And he's like, what? Did they come out of like some random mating ritual? And she's like, actually, yeah. I come from a long line of very powerful deer shifters. Yeah. And there was a ritual and they chose a random male and me, and our identities were kept secret from each other, and it went very quickly and wasn't anything special. And then she realized she was pregnant after, mm-hmm. and it was a fertility ritual. Mm-hmm. So it worked.
She says, which,
you know what that reminds me of? ACOTAR, the spring thing with Tamlin.
What is that called again?
The spring fling.
It's called
the spring equinox, the March. ACOTAR? What are you talking about?
Calamai.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Katie's talking about it right here.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't remember in Throne of Glass learning about these things, but also we don't really go deep into the deer shifters because we don't see them till the very end. So,
well, okay. She does say that her gods predate the fae gods.
We do talk about those gods in Throne of Glass. So,
yeah. Ah. Mm-hmm. Can you share anything about that?
No? It's always kind of like wishy-washy. There's two sets of gods. It feels like Game of Thrones. There's the old gods and the new gods. And I think she's talking about the old gods of their world.
Ew.
Yeah. Okay. And the new gods, I'm now curious about, like, if they have something to do with the Asteri.
Interesting. I don't know. I can't say anything about that. But the forest that they went to was the Aldovian Forest. I don't know if that has any significance.
Oh, yeah, that's where they have the ritual.
So Lydia then goes and starts to talk about her past and how she was taken away from her mother at 3. Her father took her away, and she blames her mother for letting him take her. And just to spite her, she becomes exactly like her father. And, like, she trained to be just like him, as brutal as him, and that she trained with Sandriel for 10 years before she was chosen for the Fertile Rite, because Rune is asking her, like, how did Pollux all fit into all of this? And so she kind of goes back into her backstory, that she had been dancing around Pollux and had not decided to let him into her bed yet. And then a few weeks after the ritual, she knew she was pregnant. She didn't tell her father. She's like, I don't know why I don't want to tell him, but I just don't want to tell him. I feel
she
like
just, like, so she just knew that he was bad. And it really took bringing, mm-hmm. like, new babies into the world to
change her.
I feel like to come to terms with that and, like, stop ignoring it, mm-hmm. it, like, really forced her to face what she was actually involved in.
Mm-hmm.
She knew it was bad, but she was ignoring that fact.
Yeah. So when she found out that she was pregnant, she staged her kidnapping, because she knew at that point, when she knew she was pregnant, she knew that Pollux and the others would have been able to scent her pregnancy. And at that time, Hunt was with them. So
yeah.
She made that note. This is, you know, the 10 years ago, or more than that, I think, like, what, 14 years ago? So she made it look like Ophion had kidnapped her. And at this point, then she knew it was twins. So she ran. She didn't really know where she was going to go, but she ran into the Ocean Queen. The Ocean Queen found her.
Yeah, she'd heard rumors that the Ocean mm-hmm. saved these rebels and helped mm-hmm. them. So she, like, would say to the, she went in and she, like, surrendered and was like, I want to talk to the Ocean.
The Ocean Queen took her in, but for the continued protection of her children, she would have to go back to Pollux and get tight with the Asteri after 2 years. So she had her boys. She was there for probably about a year for the first year, and then she had to go back. So she gained the Asteri's trust, then fed all of the intel she could back to Ophion, and which would be directly back to the Ocean Queen. And then she could never see her sons again until the Ocean Queen allowed it. She slept with Pollux because the old Lydia would have. And that's how she kind of gets around to telling that story to Rune.
Yeah.
To kind of make him understand.
And then they start, like, making out and lusting and getting naked. She's wearing, like, this one-piece zip-up suit. And he, like, unzips it. And she's not wearing a bra.
Like a scuba outfit?
Yeah, basically. And then he pins her hands above her head and she flinches because of all of the stuff she's been through with Pollux abusing her. Mm-hmm. And he stops and gets so mad at Pollux and he's like, stay with me, let's just cuddle. And then they completely strip down to cuddle.
Yeah.
And they're like cuddling completely naked. There's a lot of talk about him grabbing her ass and her like moaning before this. And then while they're cuddling, he's like, I felt her ass and I could shift and just like be in between her legs. But this isn't about sex. I just laid here and felt very seen.
Good for you, Rune.
Congratulations. You made it.
Katie says, I don't know why the kids are annoying to me, but I feel like there's a reason for them being twins, since she could have just had one named Brandon. But I feel like it must be significant that they're twins. I don't know. We just spent so much time with them and I want them to mean something. Yeah. I do too.
No, I feel like
they must be kind of powerful if they were, well, first twins that were conceived during a ritual.
Yeah, exactly. I think it is important, Katie. And I think like the fact that they're named Brandon is a huge flag that like this is important because King Brandon is a huge deal in Throne of Glass.
Who's King Brandon?
He's the king of Terrasen. Yeah. Like, is there a King Acetone? Katie says, like, yeah, I don't know. Like, where is his name from? Maybe we just don't know enough about Terrasen's history. So
We'll see.
I wonder if King Acetone is like, I wonder if there's one evil and one good, if they're like brothers.
We'll see.
We love a brother storyline. So,
like Cain and Abel.
I like Stefan and Damon. Cain and Abel.
You said one evil brother, one good brother.
Well, that's what Stefan and Damon are too. But really there's lots of gray.
Do you think Stefan and Damon were derived from Cain and Abel?
I bet a lot of stories are derived from Cain and Abel. And there's a lot of like Bible tropes that we all took and ran with.
Caitlin says there's so many parallels with Lydia and Aelin. Yeah, yep. I guess so.
There are.
Yeah. The way they're both like murders, blonde, similar lore with the gods.
Mm-hmm. I know. I couldn't stop thinking about that once like I put together that a hind is a deer. I was picturing her like a rabbit for the longest time. Behind, I was like, she's this like big bad, but she's a rabbit
with their big thumper hind legs.
Yeah, that's literally what I was thinking. Like, and then I was like, is hind like, could it be a wolf? Like, what? Anyway, so
well, Selena and Lydia also like worked for, you know, the
terrible men.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. They look alike. And there's a lot of like moments in this book in particular where she's described very similar to Selena. So anyway.
Lost sister.
Yeah. I don't know. While I was reading this, I was like, what if this is like before Selena and she's her ancestor? But then later on, we find out that they're their ancestors because she's like, Bran was named after a king. Because I was hoping that maybe this was Bran.
This origin story.
Yeah. That would have been cool. But it's later, it seems.
Okay.
All right.
We pop back to Team Caves.
Yep.
And this is after she let the rocks cave fall.
Yeah, Braxian is like, was that a laser?
I think she just jumps in the river and Hunt's like,
she's like,
why would she jump in the river without telling me? She obviously doesn't trust me anymore. Oh my gosh.
She's like, everybody in the river now. And Hunt's like, no, just teleport us across it. She's like, no. And she jumps right in. And Therian's like, all right, everyone in the river.
So Hunt is just like, she doesn't trust me anymore. She doesn't have time to tell you.
Wait, Katie says they should have called this book Cave of Flame and Shadow because we spend a lot of time underground. And I think that's so accurate. Mm-hmm. And that would have been such a fun name. Because House of Blame and Shadow is so like every other title and it gets confusing, but Cave of Flame and Shadow, that's something new and interesting.
Well, yeah, it's because there's the different house in his names.
Well, obviously, but like those are boring.
Yeah. Crescent City 3.
Like the only person in the house is fucking Ethan, she says. La 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 la.
Yeah.
True story. Well, that's where our chapter ends. They all jump in the water. And Hunt is like, fuck. And he jumps in after them all.
Mm-hmm.
And we're off to the races. We're getting to the big break in Act 3. Almost again. It's in sight.
Yeah, the next few. Chapter 56 is 12 minutes. Chapter 57 is 12. 58 is 11. 59 is 14.
We're going to be off next week because I will be on tour and we will be unable to record this chapter chat. The real show will be here. The real show. Those forking fangirls will still come out. But the chapter chat will be off next week. But we'll be back after that when I get back from the tour. And
Christina has a book coming out. If you didn't know, it's called Attached at the Hip.
And it's a Survivor-esque rom-com. It's got like rom-com meets the Hunger Game vibes. If you haven't seen Survivor and you don't know what Survivor's like, that's what it's like. And I really love it. I'm so excited to share it with everyone. So I hope you love it too. The link is in the show notes if you want to check it out. And I'm on book tour, if you didn't know. And my book tour schedule is in the show notes as well. If you're around in any of those areas, I love to see you, meet you, chat with you, talk books with you. All the links to all those events will be in the show notes. So thank Yay. You all so much for hanging with us today, supporting the show. If you don't know, we have a Patreon with lots of fun perks if you want to support the show even further. Our main show comes out every Friday and we have an extra half an hour show where we talk funny stories and stuff going on in our personal lives, more stuff, more personal issue things we talk about over there. We really love that community. So that's available at the $5 tier and up, and it's also ad free. Lots of fun perks. You get to come to recordings, talk in the chat, be a part of the conversation in real time. So it's really fun, and we love our patrons. We love all of our listeners, too. Thank you so much for being here and reading with us, and we will see you next week. I'm Christine.
I'm Natasha.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.